This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to it. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
So we have our phone still down, but we'll be on Facebook Live as soon as it cooperates. So that's always a fun thing. So remember to join us, facebook.com/WESB1075. And we're on the email, too. The email, like I'm 80 years old. We're on that there internet thing. Garden@WESB.com. Listen, I just woke up like 15 minutes ago, yeah, okay. So it's going to be like, yeah, it's going to be one of those mornings. Anyway, yeah, garden@WESB.com. If you'd rather, send an email. And you can even send pictures that way, too, which is a big help a lot of times.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So what's on the agenda today?
Okay. It's feeling like fall here this morning.
Yeah, it is.
So I wanted to start with a little bit of a fall cleanup. That's a big part of a gardener's life. And so it's best to get prepared early. How I like to clean up the leaves, you know, the first few leaves that fall, there's really not much. Usually your mower can take care of them, and you should do that because in the leaves that fall, there's a lot of carbon in it. And as you chop them up with your mower and leave them on the yard, that carbon becomes part of the soil, and all life depends on carbon. So you're really fertilizing at that time. There's other minerals in there also that are real good for your lawn and your other plants. By the way, you know, I can still remember before mulch, everyone gathered the leaves and used that around their plants. That was quite a thing. It does the same thing as mulch. It deteriorates, becomes part of the soil, feeds your plants. Also, it's a kind of a blanket that keeps the soil warm, so the plant has a longer period of time to get ready for winter. There have been a lot of experiments where a few inches of leaves can raise the soil temperature by 10 degrees, so it helps the roots. The most important part of the plant is the roots, especially for those trees, shrubs, perennials. They really depend on a warmer soil through the winter because their roots, I know, even though we think our maple tree is dormant, the roots continue to grow all winter long. So the warmer we can keep that soil, the longer those roots can grow, and then come spring, there'll be a better chance of that plant growing and leafing out and producing what it's supposed to produce a lot better. I got off already.
That's all right. Off track.
I always do, yeah.
Off on a tangent.
Yep. Collecting the leaves, those first few, just chop them up with your mower. But then be prepared for raking. And what I like to do, a lot of people like to do, is if you have a lot of leaves, rake them up into a pile or get that leaf blower. Those are really handy. And blow them up into a pile. Then maybe if you want to transfer them to another part of the yard, put them on a tarp. You can get a massive amount of leaves on a tarp, and you can drag them, or you can wrap them up like Santa Claus, throw it over your shoulder, and carry them to another place. I like to use a 10 by 10 tarp. You get any bigger than that, and then, of course, they're going to get too heavy then. But a 10 by 10, you know, most of us can handle that. And also by blowing them, rather than raking them, you're drying them out a little bit, making them lighter, so it makes it much easier to transport. So be prepared for that. You know, also, your lawn is going to slow up its growth. It already has. So we're going to have to mow less often. But sometimes you may want to just run the mower out there just to chop up those leaves.
I was going to say, I don't rake leaves. I just chop them up.
Yeah. Yeah, me too, most of the time. Once in a while, I have to rake, but most of the time, I can just chop them up with a mower.
I imagine it depends on how many trees you have.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, you know, in my early years, everyone used to collect the leaves and put them underneath their shrubs or right in their vegetable gardens or in flower gardens, and they became a good source of nutrients for next year. So use them either way or always, depending on what you really want to do. But it is a good time to be prepared. You know, a lot of different rakes out there that make it easy to collect them. Of course, most of us now are using blowers. There's the gas-powered ones. There's battery-powered ones. There's electric ones with a cord. They all work very, very well and can be fun, but try to blow, you know, if you're on a hillside, blow downhill. It makes things much easier. Try not to pick a windy day. It can be very discouraging. unless the wind is blowing in your favor. So sometimes you may have to blow the leaves further away than you want. But using that wind, you know, it becomes very, very useful in collecting your leaves, even on a windy day. I guess that covers leaves.
So we're talking about fall cleanup.
Yeah, fall cleanup. Keep the leaves cleaned up. You might want to, when you're out there in the yard, check your trees and shrubs too for broken branches, dead branches. It's a good time to clip them off, saw them off, depending on the size that you have and the pruners that you have, and get rid of those. You don't want those sitting on a plant for very long. They can become diseased, or they can become an attractant for certain insects as they're rotting down. So keep them cleaned out. It's a good time to do that in the fall, and you'll be much further ahead in the game. With the leaves, I hate to keep going on and on. You know, they make great compost because a little stack of leaves generates a lot of heat, and that's important in your compost. And a lot of people should have a compost pile. And it doesn't have to be this elaborate thing you made with old pallets, which be 4x4. It can be, and which I like to use, is just an old garbage can. Poke a few holes in it. So it does get air in there.
Does it matter if it's like a steel garbage can or a plastic one?
Yeah, it doesn't matter at all.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't matter. And you can put the leaves in there. Then you can even take your string trimmer and put it inside that garbage can with those leaves and run it. It'll chop them up real fine. That causes them to rot down much quicker. So you can make some great compost, then maybe add some grass clippings and other things in the old potted plants you can throw in there. That all will help the compost get going. And believe me, that compost can be a gold mine, as you know, we say in gardening, because it can really give plants a heck of a head start. And then the next year, you know, unless you're turning it or turning it over or rolling it, it may take a year to decompose. And then you can just throw it right on top of a bed where you're going to be planting, or you can mix it in to the soil. Or if you're going to be planting a tree or shrub, dig the hole, throw some compost in there, mix it up a little bit. That all will get your plants off to a real good start.
Do you have to add dirt in there as well to the compost, or does it just turn to dirt?
Yeah, that's I'm glad you said that, because that's a real good idea to add every time you put in 6 inches of leaves, throw in a shovel full of soil, okay, because that shovel full of soil has millions and millions of little creatures that are going to start the decomposition process much, much faster.
I'm glad I asked that, because I heard that before, and I wasn't really sure, like, well, if it's going to turn into soil, why would you add soil? Well, that it speeds up the process, like you just said.
It does.
It introduces all the organisms and things.
Yes, indeed, it does. So that's really a key in good compost, producing compost quickly, is adding that soil. And that soil can be from an old potted plant you had, or it can be just a shovel full out of the garden and throw in there. And that's in the garbage can. You know, if you've got that big box, you're going to have to put a lot more soil in. So you want to put that 6 inches of chopped up leaves, grass clipping, so on, and then a nice layer of soil on top of it to get all that acting. Hopefully there may even be some worms in that, and that'll really get that compost composting much, much quicker and better.
Good.
I got a plant here.
We see that. It's kind of hard to miss.
Yeah.
You got a big one. It doesn't even fit on the screen.
Oh, it doesn't. It's too big. I'm going to pull it down. I did the annuals early, and then I did the perennials. Now it's time for some shrubs, because fall is a great time to plant trees and shrubs. They are going into dormancy, so they're not real needy. There's not you're not going to have to go out there and water them every day and fertilize them all the time. This time of year, we can basically dig the hole, plant a tree or shrub, backfill it, water it in real well, mulch it, and we're probably going to be good for the whole rest of the year.
We'll let you know what Bob brought in right after we thank our sponsor,
okay,
Worth W. Smith. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM.
At Worth W. Smith Company, you'll find what you need when it comes to shovels, rakes, pruners, and all sorts of other gardening and landscaping tools. Why take the chance of getting splinters from old, dried-up, cracked handles, or the frustration of fighting with the rusty, chipped cutting edge on your loppers? Their staff is always eager to lend a helping hand with getting you what you need for the project ahead. Stop and see them today at any of their 6 locations in Bradford, Olean, Salamanca, Cuba, and Eldred. Remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. We're doing show and tell now, facebook.com/WESB1075. And Bob has moved into the frame here. If you follow us on Facebook, you have probably one of the larger plants that you've brought in.
Yeah. I couldn't really find a small one, so I had to bring this one in. But you'll still get the idea. I'm kind of turning it around, showing. This is a hydrangea. And this particular one is, and there's a lot of different hydrangeas out there. And this particular one is called Vanilla Strawberry. It's a panicle hydrangea. You can see the flowers up there are in a kind of a long cone shape rather than a round ball.
Kind of a white tint to it?
Yes. And with that name, that Vanilla Strawberry, it's going to start turning reddish.
Nice.
Here real soon, depending on the amount of sun that it's in. And hydrangeas are becoming the most popular shrub now in the nursery, because they're pretty darn good.
Do they all change color like that, or is that particularly, just for this particular?
They all will change color to some point, but this one here is going to get a little bit redder than others. Some will come up and they'll have the nice white blossoms, and then they'll just kind of turn gray and then to brown. This one here going to start out white and gradually turn to a reddish color, and then to that brown later on in the season. But again, the hydrangeas have become one of the most popular shrubs. they, in our area, we're lucky. We can plant a hydrangea in full sun. They do prefer a little bit of shade. They need about 4 hours of sun. So you can grow them anywhere around Bradford as long as they're getting 4 hours of sun. But again, they can withstand full sun here in Bradford because we don't get a whole lot of sun here. So this one's a panicle. There are big leaf hydrangeas, and those are the ones that usually can turn pink or blue.
Mm.
And those did well this year, but they normally don't. They're usually a zone 5. This particular one that I'm showing is down to a zone 4, so it's extremely hardy. But those big leaf ones that show up the blue or the pink, a lot of people have had trouble with them because usually you don't get a blossom every year with them.
Why is that for this area? Is it too hot?
Or? A little too cold for them.
It's too cold.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little too cold and not a long enough growing season. Now, you can be more successful with them by not pruning them because the big leaf hydrangea starts to develop its flower buds now for next year. So if you prune it, you've pruned off next year's flower buds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But at the same token, those flower buds are produced now. Now they've got to survive a whole winter. And quite often, they don't survive a whole winter unless you put some protection on it. I like to wrap mine sometimes with burlap or put a teepee of plywood over them to protect them from the winter winds from drying out, and then they can't form a nice flower.
So it's the wind more than the frost.
Yes, it is the wind.
Okay.
As the wind goes through the plant, especially the winter winds, you get a dry, cold winter wind that's pulling the moisture right out of that bud, so it dries it right up. But now these other types of hydrangeas, mostly other types, like the panicle one here, and then there's one called the smooth hydrangea that will be a nice round. They look like a snowball. Then there are climbing hydrangeas that'll climb up a fence or right up a tree and bloom. And then there are the oak leaf hydrangeas. They don't have this shape of leaf here like on this plant. They'll have a leaf that's shaped like the oak leaf. They're all real good. They all can take the pruning because they don't produce their flower buds now. They produce their flower buds come spring. So even if you pruned it now, it'll still flower very well. Hope I made that clear. You know, most of the hydrangeas that you buy now are going to flower even if you prune them in the fall. Or real early spring, you can prune them. And they do like to be pruned. Otherwise, they can get real long, and snow can collect their ice, and they'll bend down and get out of shape. So it is a good idea to do a little bit of pruning to them, and, of course, prune out any dead wood that you might see. And that'll help keep the plant very healthy. And they can grow pretty large, some of them. Some of them can stay, like the oak leaf hydrangea is not going to get real big. The smooth flowering, that's like a snowball, that's not going to get real big. But these panicle ones, they can get 8 to 10 foot tall, given enough time and if you don't prune them enough. You can keep them shorter with a good pruning practice. So that's a hydrangea. That's a great, great shrub. It's no wonder they're very popular. And it's an old, old shrub. One of the first shrubs ever planted in Bradford are the hydrangeas.
Now, will that get, do you have to worry about that getting wide? Will it multiply like some of the other plants that we've brought in?
No, it won't. It doesn't multiply that way, no. And the hydrangea can live for hundreds of years.
Wow.
Wherever you plant it, it's going to stay in that place, just get taller, bushier too.
Yeah.
But not spread.
Gotcha. Not spread. Yeah. Bees, does it bring around bees?
Yes, it does. It does bring around bees. Now, on the panicle like this one here, most of the blossoms are what we call sterile. There's nothing there for the bees. But it does produce some that are good for the bees. So it's a good pollinator plant also. But again, not all the flowers are able to produce pollen and seed, but enough of them are to support the bees. Now, those seeds that it develops are not going to fall to the ground and grow new hydrangeas. That would take hundreds of years, you know, to do.
Wow.
So that's a hydrangea. And a lot of the hydrangeas are native to America. That's where they were really first seen. And then, of course, then we went to other countries like China and so on and found other types of hydrangeas, started crossbreeding them, and we came up with quite a selection. There's a huge selection of hydrangeas, a great shrub.
I'm looking at the leaf right here that's not in good shape, right in the front and center there. So if you find a leaf like that, all the rest of them are green, but that one was dead.
Yeah, that one was already. And probably due to it was shaded out by all the leaves above it, so that one turned color soon.
Now, will that hurt it? Should you keep an eye on that? Will that stunt the rest of the plant?
No, it won't. As a matter of fact, you know, if you can leave even a leaf that looks like it's not green anymore, it still can be supporting the rest of the plant. There's still some energy in it that it'll put back into the plant. So don't be concerned about picking them off too soon. The wind or the rain will take it off when it's supposed to come off.
Good. Okay.
I'll set this down here.
All right. Yeah, it's a big one. I like it. But it's going to get a lot bigger, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Because right now it's already, what, at least 3 foot tall?
Yeah, it probably is about 3 foot tall right now. Again, a great, great shrub.
What about fragrance?
Fragrance, no, some of them have a little bit of fragrance to them, but most of them, no fragrance at all. But another thing about them, it used to be real popular, still is with some people. You can cut off the blossoms, put them in a vase. They can last in your house for months and months.
Wow.
As a matter of fact, you know, I can remember Grandma even after they start to lose their color, you can even spray them with hairspray and keep them for years even that way.
Oh, how cool is that? That's a cool little, as the kids say, a hack.
Yeah.
Cool little hack there, life hack. Anyway, so we have about 4 minutes left in the show.
Oh, okay.
Anything else you'd like to talk about, either the hydrangea or about fall cleanup or anything else on your mind?
Yeah, yeah. The fall cleanup, you know, again, keep that mower in good shape. Chop up those leaves. Leave them in place if you can. If you can't, try to start a compost bin. And again, it can be just an old garbage can. And you can put that right at your back door or off to the side yard or backyard, whatever's convenient to you. And that can become great, great soil to help feed your plants or even just feed your soil, which your plant's going to be in. And
you can add, like, your leftovers and stuff in there, right?
Yes,
like,
yeah.
As but, long like, as your fresh vegetables and...
Yeah, as long as there's no meat or oil with it, yeah, add all that to it. You know, there's so many things you can add to the compost enhance it, I guess.
Does that attract animals?
No, it doesn't. If you put the meat or fats in it, attract the animals then. But with just the green and the brown, we call leaves that have turned color, that's brown, old grass clippings, anything you rake out of the garden, you know, clippings, small clippings, any of that, you know, is just going to be good and not attract animals.
But I was more talking about, like, you know, your tomatoes or your leftover
cucumbers. That's fine too, yeah.
But it won't attract the animals.
No, it won't.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge. You know, there may be a case out there where, yeah, it attracted some chipmunks to get in there. But most generally, no.
But no raccoons and skunks?
No.
Okay.
No. So, I old squash, tomatoes, any of the old fruits, bananas are great, you know, the ones that just ripen too fast for you. I'm thinking about myself.
Yeah.
I always buy my bananas, and I never get to eat them all.
What about, like, it's almost pumpkin season here, so.
Yeah. That's going to make great compost also, you know. But try, if you got a squash or a pumpkin, try to break it up a little bit before you throw it in there. It's going to deteriorate a lot faster that way.
All right, good advice. And with that, we're just about out of time.
Okay.
Great. So, hey, if you have a question for Bob during the week, get him in at garden@wesb.com. And you can always hear the show on demand at wesb.com as well. So thank you very much, Bob. And we will talk to you again next week right here on The Garden
Show. Okay.